And I invite you to turn with me to the passage we read earlier, Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And our focus this morning would be, and the title of the message is from verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. We're nearly 3 months into 2025. And I wonder how the year is going for you already. The Christian life is full of afflictions. The Christian life is, we suffer from anxiety from time to time. There can be senses of fear within. And there are many trials that we undergo, many sufferings to endure. And those sufferings sometimes are not taken away this side of glory, but they are taken away as we will one day see His face. But as we pilgrimage in this land, in this world, from time to time, we will face some sort of trial, some sort of affliction. And in this psalm, the author is David. And David knew what it was to suffer, didn't he, throughout his life. And in this time of his life, his heart is severely pained. He's in a time of great difficulty because of the sins of his enemies. But not just the enemies, but also a close companion who actually betrays him. And we cannot pinpoint who that is. But he may be speaking of his son Absalom, or David's counsellor, Athenia. But whoever it is, David experienced evil within his own house, and because of the consequences actually of his own sin with Bathsheba. One was Absalom's rebellion against his own father, David. But whatever the case, David is knowing and he is feeling the effects of close betrayal. David is feeling the effects of being, and the experience of it, of being stabbed in the back. He speaks of it in verses 12 through to 14. He says, "For it is not an enemy who approaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me or has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. And we took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne." This was a man ever so close to him. And they even took sweet counsel together. And yet, we find David being stabbed in the back by his acquaintance. And who does this remind you of? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered at the hand of Judas, didn't he? Who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver and betrayed him with a kiss. A man so close to Jesus, He followed Jesus and heard his teaching and witnessed his miracles. He spoke with him. He ate with him. He had his feet washed by the Messiah. But deep down, he was a traitor. Psalm 41, verse 9 reads, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." And I ask you this morning to consider our Saviour, who knew what it meant to be betrayed. And if our Saviour had to walk that particular path, then maybe we might have to as well as we follow in his footsteps. Betrayal is a terrible sin. And Jesus took it seriously when he said in Luke 22, verse 22, "And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." The effects of it are truly devastating. Betrayals wreck marriages. They wreck friendships. They wreck family life. The local church between brothers and sisters and the local community. To the one who has been on the receiving end of betrayal, it can be an agonizing burden to carry. Maybe you've been betrayed by a friend. Maybe a family member. Maybe your husband or wife. Maybe a pastor or an elder or a deacon. Maybe a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe a person who you thought was a brother or sister in Christ, but actually was found out to be a liar and walked away from the faith to never return. Maybe a work colleague. Maybe someone whom you really trusted. Someone whom you confided in, but later found out they're actually gossiping about you. How do we react in such events in our lives? Well, David in his psalm has a confidence, doesn't he? A confidence that is found in the Lord. We have mentioned David's situation in his context. But in verse 22, the word burden has such a broad meaning, as it relates to many different kinds of burdens that we endure in our walk by faith. We have many burdens of different kinds, burdens that come our way. And so, beloved, whatever burden you have or will have, we will see how we should deal with it in the Lord. And firstly, I want us to see how this burden affects David. How this burden affects David. There are several words which describe the word burden. It can mean anxiety or a heavy load. It means really a lot. And the lot in my life, or the heavy load in my life, is what God has permitted to come, and he will support us under that lot. So this lot, what has been allotted, or this burden in my life, in your life, is a heavy one. It's a heavy load. And David expresses in this psalm the great difficulty he faces due to his current lot. David in verse 1 is desperate. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan noisily." Here we're given into an insight, aren't we, of the deep, pressing concern of David's heart. Because to speak like this before the Lord David is in serious, difficult, and in a troubling state before his God. Only a man who asked God to give ear and not to hide from his prayer signifies that he is in real trouble. He needs God to turn up for him in his situation. He needs God to listen to him in his desperation. He has nowhere else to go. Nobody else is giving him true counsel. And notice David is going to the one who he knows he can, or who can, sustain him in the most difficult times and difficult trials. And yet he has a boldness, doesn't he, in his prayer. He's calling upon his God to be attentive to what is about to be articulated to the Lord. Because this storm in his life is so overwhelming that he must give it over to the Lord. This is an emergency for David in his life. And it's an urgent call to the Lord. He further pleads before his God in verse 2, "Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily." He calls upon the Lord to attend to him. He's calling the Lord to pay attention to him. His case is affecting him so much that he is restless. He is restless. He has no peace as it relates to his distress that he finds himself in. It is though as he is roaming around in his heart and mind over his complaint. Notice his moaning is not hidden. It's not covered up. This is his current condition. His reality is deep turmoil within, and all his concerns are coming out before God. Well, he further describes his condition in verses 4 to 6. He says, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." This is the state of David. But as he's in this great pain, he moves to a point where he wants to escape. In verses 7 and 8, he wants to run from this lot that has been given to him. So he said, "Oh, that I would have wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." And doesn't that sound like us sometimes? That we would desire to escape from the situation, to flee from it. Have you been there, dearly beloved? Maybe you're there now, with a burden in your life. You can relate how David is in, how he's feeling in his inner man. You feel dreadful. Like you're going round in circles with a clouded mind and a heavy heart. And an anxious heart seems to all that you actually know. My wife spoke to a young lady many months ago, and in difficult trouble. And she said, "I didn't know that your physical heart could hurt due to the burden." That's the pain that she was feeling within. And great burdens can cause great pain and great turmoil in life of a believer. Whether it's family issues, issues in the workplace, the state and the condition of the local church, illness and ongoing suffering, our own personal sin and battling against the flesh, temptations, and even betrayal like David, and persecution of some kind. This is what David was feeling within. And so this is how he felt. This is how the trial made him feel. I wonder if you've ever had bad news turn up at the door or on the phone call. Whether it may be, or the person in front of you is telling you something. And great fear and anxiety comes upon the mind and the heart because of great surprise. Things that you never actually thought would happen in your life. Things that you maybe didn't think you would endure. And we find ourselves, like David, in a state of a heart that's severely pained. Well, secondly, I want us to see, what are we to do when we are cast down? What are we to do when we are cast down? See, despite how David suffered, it drove him to the one who can sustain him. And that's when we're in trial and difficult situations, beloved, either two things will happen. The trial would either draw us away from the Lord, or it will either drive us to the Lord. And for the Christian, hopefully, though we do fall, but our case would be that we would flee to the Lord, as David does. You see, what are we to do? Well, what does the Word of God command us to do? In verse 22, it says, doesn't it, cast. He says, cast your burden on the Lord. But quite often, we don't, do we? Or not straight away. Have you known that? Sometimes we're a bit slow to lay it before the Lord in prayer, aren't we? We tend to try and deal with it ourselves, or try some sort of quick fix, or try something just to numb the pain. You see, when we fail to cast, we fail to throw the burden upon the Lord. And when we don't cast upon the Lord, what do we end up doing? Well, we end up carrying it ourselves. We end up carrying the burden. And we can even put trust in something else other than God. Surely we desire deep within that the Lord would carry us. Remember in Isaiah chapter 46 verse 4, he says, even to your old age I am he, and even to grey hairs I will carry you. A promise there that the Lord will carry his people. You see, when we don't cast the burden upon the Lord, the burden may even grow greater And what I mean by that is that how you suffer under it by not giving it to the Lord. So we have to cast it to the one who can sustain you and to the one who has permitted it in your life. We are to give it over to the Lord in prayer and everything. Tell him everything, beloved. But not only tell him, but we are to give it over to him in such a way that you trust him in whatever outcome that is according to his will. Remember Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, we can be preoccupied with our anxiousness, but the Lord calls us to be occupied in prayer and in supplication, and to let our request be known to him. This is God inviting us to lay it before him, to bring it to him. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all, not some. Not some things that you may be able to deal with in your own strength. But he says all, everything. You are to cast your care upon him. What does casting mean? But it means to throw something on something. Like when Jesus needed the colt, and they threw their own clothes on the colt. So their clothes left them, and then was thrown on the colt. And so we are to transfer our cares over to the Lord, to one who has permitted these difficulties in our lives. But in 1 Peter before verse 7, verse 6 says, therefore humble yourselves. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So the indication is there, if we don't cast our cares upon him and try and carry them ourselves, that can actually show that there's pride within. Because we may think that we're self-sustaining. And that's why Peter exhorts us that we should humble ourselves. We should be a humble people and recognise the sovereign Lord in all events is working and knows all things. A humble man, a humble woman will cast, because they know deep within that they have absolutely no strength within of themselves. Because what's before them, they cannot endure themselves. Left to our own strength, brothers and sisters, we fail. But when you cast, it shows that you trust him. And you have faith in the one true and living God. He cares for us. Our God cares for every sheep in his fold. And that's why he commands us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What an invitation, the love of Christ. The Lamb of God is saying, I care for you. to a sinner, I care for you. So therefore, we are there to throw our burden onto the Lord. You desire, you want God to carry you through? Then cast, beloved. Cast. Just think of it from a human perspective. If you need help, then you ask someone to give you help. Right? I remember my uncle who was doing some work at home. And he has an affliction. He's had an affliction since his younger days in his youth. He has an arm that's completely dead. Still attached, but there's no life in it. And his nerves are still obviously there, so he finds excruciating, agonizing pain continually. And he was doing work at home, and he even uses his good arm to carry his bad arm, because it just hangs there. And he was doing some work at home, and he could not finish the work. He was in such agony, he didn't know how, that he would get finished his work. And he comes to the end point of himself. He said, I can only but pray. And there he bowed down before the Lord and prayed that the Lord would send someone to help him in his affliction. And that evening, I turned up. I don't know why the Lord put it in my heart to go to that house that night to see them. And there was a man struggling. And I was able to help him finish. And what a blessing that the Lord heard prayer. And his prayer answered quite quickly. Though that not always be the case, obviously. But that's just a testimony of casting on the Lord. And the Lord is able to deal with it. And many of you could give a testimony of yourselves. But this is what David did, and this is what we ought to do, Christian. He calls us to cast all our cares upon him. Well, thirdly, I want us to see the object in whom we cast our burden to. The object is the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. The self-existing one. The one who is present at all events in time. The one who does not change. The one who does not depend on anything. But in all things depend on him. He needs nothing. He is all-sufficient. He is all-wise. Full of truth and faithfulness. He's perfectly good within himself, and his goodness is directed to his people. And oh, Christian, that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. And then blessed is the man who trusts in him. He's perfect in his love. And that was manifested in his son's sacrifice for our sins. As he died and shed his own heart's blood on the cross. He's full of grace and mercy. And he bestows favour on those who don't deserve it. And he has deep compassion towards his people. And his mercy does not fail. This is whom we are to cast our burdens to. The sovereign God who is in control of all things. He is the Lord who daily bears our burdens. Blessed be the Lord who daily beareth our burden, even the God who is our salvation. Psalm 68 verse 19. And notice in this psalm how David expresses his strong assertions and confidence on how the Lord shall deal with his situation. Notice in verse 16. He says, doesn't he? As for me, I will call upon the Lord. And notice here. And the Lord shall save me. He is the Lord who saves. Verse 17. He is the Lord who hears. And he is the Lord who sustains. And no man can do anything. And no man can move him away from the Lord. In verse 22. And he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. In verse 23, speaking of bloodthirsty and deceitful men, it says, God shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. What a confidence that David has. He uses the word shall. And the Lord shall save me. Is that our confidence this day? Is that our confidence and assurance that the Lord shall save me? And we are to come to Christ. He is worthy. His grace is sufficient for us to sustain us. And it is Christ that sustains us. And he may not take away the circumstance, but it is he who is able to supply grace in the midst of our burdens, to help us, to uphold us, to empower us to endure, to preserve us to the end. It is he who supports us. He nourishes us through the word of God and comforts us by his spirit. And so cast your burden on the Saviour, beloved. Why would you not? He knows all about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Cast the burden upon the Lord who is in control. And what a promise we have for those of us who love him. Romans 8, 28. Precious verse, isn't it? And we know that all things work together for our good, for those who love God, to those who are called to his purpose. Hannah cast her burden on the Lord, didn't she? She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Maybe this morning you're concerned over your sin and you don't know what to do with it. And you've fallen short once again. Backslid in some sort of way, or maybe you just don't know the Christ at all. When he invites you to come to him. Jesus said, come to me. All you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to him who bore your sin on the cross. Come to him who suffered for you. Come to him who endured the wrath of God, the wrath that we deserve. Come to him who is able to reconcile you to our holy God. Come to him who can cleanse you, to wash you and to wash you afresh. Come to him by faith, who can give you a new heart and a new mind. Come to him, who can give you everlasting life and rescue you from destruction and hell. Come to him in repentance and in faith. Christian, this morning, cast your burden on the Lord. You see, think of it like this. If you have cast your burden of sin upon him, then why not cast your circumstances upon him now? What's restraining you? What stops you from coming to him? Well, I urge you, forsake what hinders you. Forsake what hinders you. If it's the devil's lies, then flee. And flee to Christ. And take counsel of the one who is truth. Remember, Christ knows what it means to suffer. Remember Christ's burden in the garden. Remember his words. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And in Luke, he says, chapter 22, verse 44, he says, and being in agony, he prayed earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Time has come for the great burden bearer to bear the sins of his people. And beloved, he suffered God's wrath that was being poured out upon him. And we look to him. We look to him. Why? Because God sustained him. God sustained him to keep him in the Lord's will, that he would go and pay the price. He sustained him all the way to the cross and kept him in the midst of every agonizing event that happened to him, in order that he would be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And yes, the Lord didn't take away his suffering. But he was delivered in his resurrection. He was delivered in his resurrection. And sometimes suffering is not taken away in this life. But it will be when we will be with him. No more suffering. No more trials. But only the sweet presence of Christ that we will know. So, beloved, he, Christ Jesus, is the one we look to. In the midst of the storm, though the waves may be large and huge, and the swell may be ever so great, he's over it. He's in control of it. He knew all about your lot before you knew. And so, if he knows, why would we not go to him? Let us be people who call out for him to sustain us, to keep us, to learn from him and to seek his counsel. Oh, beloved, this morning, that you would be assured that whatever comes in our lives, we have a confidence and assurance in the Lord. That the Lord has called us to cast every burden on him, and he shall sustain you. Amen.